It is September 17th, 2017, 10:40 in the morning. 30 minutes ago, Persis and I had another argument, and I had to walk away. Not an argument, but a strong disagreement. We've been talking about tiny houses all morning. Everything's great. I mentioned at one point I need to go finish the story, and out of her mouth came, "How come you never took down the two stream story?" We started searching for my ex yesterday when we found out she's gone to work for Paul, the guy she had an affair with. And when you search her name, for some reason, Google has indexed one of my hidden pages on my website called Two Streams. And we stopped working on that like back when we lived in India over a year ago. And I just left it as an unlisted page. Well, when Persis saw it, she's like, "You know, how come you didn't delete it?" With, and she got that offensive look in her eyes. And I said, "My goodness." And I tried to explain it all to her that I think Google obviously indexed it. It's hidden on my website. "Why didn't you delete it?" And I said, "Well, because we moved on to other subjects and I left it as an unhidden page. I never felt the need to go delete it, and times moved on and I completely forgotten about it." And all of a sudden I started feeling like a criminal. And I said, "Why are you treating me with such contempt again, like I've done something wrong? To have started telling a story about our marriage, which you agreed to, which you saw, which you read, which you saw all the pictures of. Why do you now make me feel like a criminal again, like I've done something wrong?" And I said, "That's it." And I said, "Fine, okay, no problem." I got up and I said, "I'm going to go to work." And I got up and walked away. While I am getting in the shower, she sends me this text. "I'm not a victim of my circumstances, never was. My life turned out the way it did because of my choices. Circumstances have nothing to do with it. Circumstances did not lead me to spirituality, but my choices and quest did. I don't believe in childhood traumas or circumstances molding you, so I don't want to put false emphasis on circumstances. I appreciate it if you remove those stories of my circumstances changing my life, because they didn't. My conscious choices did. Also, I want you to remove all other videos or photos of me that aren't deleted. Not hidden, but need to be deleted. I don't want any video pic of me on the internet. Also, I am not comfortable you talking to strangers about me." So basically what I felt in my heart after I read this was, okay, I tell you what, maybe we should have just never changed your name to my name. Maybe we should change your name back to your maiden name. And you can just live as a ghost. You don't have to be my wife in public. You don't have to wear your wedding ring. You can just pretend like you don't even exist. Here's a woman who married a man based on a public story who had a public ministry. And she married me knowing that I had a public ministry. And now she wants to basically pretend and hide as if she doesn't exist. And she has been so taken captive by the devil. The devil has totally perverted what looks like a good thing. He's perverted her and cramped her up with an extreme. She thinks that to mention any part of her story is to take away glory from God. She's in a place of total confusion on this. And I praise God that as soon as I went into the bathroom and turned the music on, it was 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I thank God that just minutes earlier, I saw 9:51. 19 minutes earlier. Move forward in spite of the opposition. Here I am today going to finish one of the hardest chapters in my book I've written. The devil always finds a nose or a foot to put in there. Out of nowhere, this happened. We were so totally fine. We were talking about building a tiny home. I'm talking about her doing research to help me and me doing my part and all that. We were totally just doing fine. And all of a sudden, I mentioned I need to go finish writing this chapter today. And she says, "How come you never deleted the two streams thing?" And there it was. The offense was created. I mean, I never met a person who's so offended by having the story of her marriage told. She has such a pride inside of her. The truth is, she does not want it to look like in any way, shape, or form that God ever did anything through me good for her. That she doesn't want it to look like, which is okay. I'm not going to put any emphasis on that at all in the story. But it's gotten taken to an extreme, and what it is it's the devil trying to use her to create offense and to prevent me from being able to tell the amazing story of what God has done. I got in the shower, I prayed, I said, "God, please, I beg of you, I need your grace, I feel offended." How could a wife say the kind of things she says, and how could a husband not be so offended that this wife of his has tried so hard for so long to basically do everything she can to stop the story of her marriage being told? because it somehow or another casts a light on her that her life has improved circumstantially, or that God blessed her in some way through the circumstantial marriage. She's so afraid of that, that she basically wants to put the marriage completely off the radar and bury it as if it doesn't exist. It would be like us saying, Jesus never had any difficult circumstances. Being born in a cow shed doesn't matter. Having no homelessness doesn't matter. Having no food, no temple tax money, being made fun of, not having a place comfortable you can go, none of that matters. I don't even know why God put any of that in the story. Because it takes away from what really happened, and that was Jesus' choice. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I get frustrated. That's why I'm sharing this here. I walked out and I said, I love you, your wish. That's all I said, your wish. I love you, and that's it. So my own wife does not trust me. She thinks the devil has convinced her that I'm somehow or another using our story to bring me honor. And one time she said, money. She said, you're using the story to bring money. I said, how am I using the story to bring money? I'm simply telling what happened. Am I guilty because of what God did? I'm not trying to use this story to bring money. Are you kidding me? Here we are talking about moving out of this house that's been given to me and moving into a tiny little 270 square foot tiny house. And I'm talking about, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it's all just comes out of her fear. She doesn't realize it, but that she's actually speaking at the same level that my ex-wife was in many ways. This delusional thinking. Out of fear. This is what fear does. It gets you to see things that are not there, or to see truth as falsehood. It's so hard. And I get offended by it because it has to do with, I mean, would Jesus Christ not be offended? Was he not offended when he said, are you offended? How do you feel if I went back to where I came from? He says, does this offend you? How would you feel if you saw the Son of Man return where he came from? So Jesus knows about it. The difference is, you know, he kept going, and he had to look at Peter one time and said, you know, Satan, get behind me. I feel like saying the same thing to Persis. So I didn't say it to her. I said it to him in the bathroom. Satan, get behind me. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. He's trying to use the only thing he can to stop the most wonderful climax of this story from happening, to show God's goodness. The devil's fighting me and God's telling me just move forward. But I can see how that he tries so hard to create this offense, because what part of Jesus wouldn't be offended when his bride says, don't talk anything about the difficult circumstances we were in. Don't talk about me being blind. Don't talk about me being demon possessed. Don't talk about me being bent over by an evil spirit for 18 years. Don't talk about my bleeding for 12 years. Don't talk about me 38 years. That has nothing to do with me choosing you. I chose you because I chose you. So shut up, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. Leave all the emotion. Don't tell the story about my son being demon possessed. Don't tell the story about my daughter dying. Don't tell the story about Peter's mother-in-law having this. Don't tell any of those stories. Don't tell about the lepers being healed. None of that. So, and when you go out and you tell your story, don't you dare mention you had leprosy one day and then it got healed the next. And that, because that has nothing to do with why you chose Jesus. You chose Jesus of your own free will. It has nothing to do with what God did for you and his goodness and kindness in your lowly situation. Don't talk about any of that stuff. That's basically what I feel like Persis is doing to our story, to God and to me. Since I'm her husband and Jesus is our husband, it's like the despise that God used all these circumstances. And so that's not the truth, but that's how she sees it as truth. She sees that her circumstances had nothing to do with it. She chose God of her own free will. And that it was all her. It had nothing to do with God orchestrating circumstances or whatever. And I tell the circumstances of her life so that other people won't feel sorry for themselves, not to say, oh, look, because of these circumstances, she came to God. No, I say, in spite of these circumstances, she came to God. I teach people that. But she, in her mind, she spun it out into something that's not even true. I only share circumstances because people feel so stinking sorry for themselves and they think they have it so bad. Even this homeless guy right now has a nice cup of warm coffee, his bags, and a nice bicycle with airs in the tire, walking down the road right here. He's got a decent bicycle to ride. That's more than a lot of people in India had. Anyhow, I've gotten it out. Now I'm going to go do the work God's asked me to do. I'm going to calm myself down. I see what the devil's doing. It's notorious how this happens out of nowhere. You just think everything's going good. I should be more staying alert. I got to stay alert because this caught me so off guard. I mean, everything was just totally fine. We're having a wonderful, glorious morning, sitting there enjoying talking, kissing, and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's like it just triggered in her. When I said I need to go finish writing the chapter, which I've been working on every day, and she said, well, how come you didn't take that story down? And then I could see the offense inside of her. She got so offended, which made me offended because I'm like, wow, why in the world do you despise this marriage so much? And I walked out of the room saying, you treat me like I'm telling a story about some bimbo I'm in love with. It's unbelievable how much she despises the good things that God's done for her, man. I'm telling you, God can blind you in such a way, it's terrible. I'm going to shut my mouth now. I'm going to go work. I'm upset in my heart, but I've already prayed, and I'm going to pray more right now and ask God to calm me down. It's now 3:36 on the 17th of September, 2017. I'm going to add this to the first recording. I've gotten myself calmed down. I went in Starbucks and worked and finished the chapter pretty much. And now on the way home, I felt myself just really feeling very fatigued with this and feeling tempted to, I had a couple of thoughts of just quitting on purpose, just tempting thoughts. Not like they were coming from me. I have no doubt that Satan is hitting me with all kinds of blows. I've seen 111, I think two times, and I feel like the Lord was showing me he's proud of me, he loves me, and I saw the 10:10, which I knew that thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet, I've now come to, again, the realization that the answer is to just deny myself in this. I reacted quickly. I didn't say any dirty words to Persis or anything terribly harsh. Just reaction of shock. I cannot believe this. You know, you're treating me like I did this on purpose or like I've done some kind of a criminal thing, her insinuation. I mean, and Persis is very quiet. That doesn't mean that she can't give a look or have a feeling in her heart that's clearly contemptuous or, you know, looking down on me or what have you. And so anyhow, I've just been telling the Father, Lord, it must be my pride. You know, I don't know why the Lord wants me to die to this, but, you know, I apparently he does. And I have explained to the Father, Lord, this is so frustrating for me because it's like my wife doesn't even want to publicly be acknowledged as my wife. That's what it feels like. It feels like she doesn't want to acknowledge me, like Jesus having a bride of Christ that doesn't want to acknowledge him. And she wants to disown me in some way. This means my own wife doesn't even trust me. It's what it seems like to me. It could be a different motive. But it seems like she doesn't even trust me to speak about her to complete strangers, like people. I use some of her stories sometime to encourage people to, you know, if you think you feel sorry for yourself, you know, and I'm just really rechecking my motives on this. Do I have some pride in this? Is God wanting to squash me even more? You know, is it wrong for me to, I feel like at every single turn I've turned around and I have denied myself in this marriage. I've denied myself repeatedly over and over and over again to where I don't think anybody would look at my marriage and say, yeah, Mike, you've made some real unreasonable demands on Persis for her to acknowledge that she's married to you, wear a wedding ring all the time when she goes out in public, and be willing to let you to tell the amazing story of what God did in your life and tell about her story because it edifies, you know, the grace of God and so forth and so on. I don't think anybody would say that I'm asking her to do some horrible, rotten thing. And they would, on the contrary, would believe to not do these things is probably not such a good thing. But this is where she's at. It's like she's wanting to crawl in a hole. I feel like, I told myself, I feel like I'm married to a ghost. I can only see her. She doesn't want to be around. She's made it very clear she does not want to socialize with other people. She feels like she can only speak to men. She has no ability to connect to women, and it's exhausting for her. Doesn't want to have, like I say, any fellowship with me at all. If I all of a sudden wanted to start going to church or start one, I got a feeling she would leave the house on Sunday mornings. She doesn't want to go with me even to meet with one person locally. She doesn't want to go with me to meet Jared and so basically she's completely doing nothing in any way that has to do with the marriage. I was actually really surprised this morning when she volunteered to help build the tiny house, if we want to build a tiny house ourselves. I was really surprised. But yeah, she seems to be, and I'm interpreting some of these things wrong and taking them personal, but I'm having a really hard time understanding this. I mean, it's like I married a woman who didn't want to marry me or something, and yet she shows love to me every single day, showers me with affection. We go through the store and she just holds on and hugs on to me like no other person in the whole store does to their wife, to their husband. The way I see it, this is possibly just another thing I need to die to. God is asking me to die. And I feel like I could fight this and try to convince her and rebuke her, encourage and instruct her. But I feel like I've already done that. And she's very obstinate, very set in her ways, very independent, and doesn't want to have anybody tell her what to do. She's not a bad girl. She's not running around doing stupid things. Everything is okay. I can live without the things that she's not doing or wanting to do or not wanting to do. I mean, I can live with it. I just am not liking it very much at all. And so, anyhow, I'm just really praying for God's wisdom in this and asking Him to help me to understand it all. It's painful. I've told the Lord this is very, very frustrating for me to have a wife who's doing this. I mean, it's very hard. There's no way around it. This is suffering, man. There's no way around it. I have a public ministry. I have an amazing story of what God did with my marriage to my wife, and she basically doesn't want me to tell anybody. She doesn't want me to put her picture on the website. I think it's all because there's some fears, and what can I do? I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. I'm powerless against it. And just when I think we've gotten past it, that's what's worse about this, is just when I think we've gotten past it, and we were just doing so fine, then all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere. It's really bizarre. The funny thing is that I am not able to discern what is going on in her heart. I really do not know what her motives are. God is hiding them from me. I'm not able to see it. I'm usually pretty good at coming to conclusions on things and discerning what a person's motive is or all that. I cannot do this with Persis. I really do not fully understand what her motive is for doing this. You know, and she keeps talking about how I'm a criminal. I see myself as a criminal. My circumstances didn't do anything. Well, that sounds very noble. That sounds very noble, you know, to want to say, look, my whole life is a result of my choices, not my circumstances. Nobody did anything to me that I didn't do to myself worse. I mean, I even include that in my story. But I still tell people the things that I went through before I had the light to understand that. I still tell people those things. You know, so that people won't feel so sorry for themselves. And it's like she's misinterpreting it. She thinks almost because I'm telling my story, like I'm trying to play a victim. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, the truth is, I was a victim for a while, and God allowed it. The Israelites were victims. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Joseph was a victim. David was a victim for a long time. God allowed them to be that way. David didn't do anything to deserve being hounded by Saul for 10 years, and Joseph didn't do anything to deserve to be thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and then thrown in jail. They were victims. Job didn't do anything to deserve losing everything. He was a victim. But God used that for His purposes. So, anyhow, I don't want to keep going on about it. I need to finish praying, and I've just been really, really frustrated with this whole situation. And I've just come out of this now and starting to realize you know what, I just need to die and ask myself, would I be okay if Persis wanted me to take off every single video that she's ever spoken in, which I can only think of about two more. I've gotten rid of a bunch of them. But even take down the one that has our marriage video in it, where I'm gone to India. Would I be okay with that? And the answer is, yeah, of course I would, but I wouldn't like it. And I think I don't know exactly even what's going on in my own heart with that. I'm confused on, is this my pride that doesn't want, like, am I desiring pride for myself in that some way? Like vindication? Like, yeah, maybe some of it is being vindicated that my ex-wife threw me away like a piece of trash. And look at what God has done. He vindicated me. You know, gave me a new wife. And I think Persis might be missing some of that. And I'm supposed to go and tell. I used to have demons. Now I've been free. Go and tell all that the Lord has done for you. That's what would have been the testimony of the Gerasene man in Mark 5:19. So, man, I'm really struggling to make sense out of this. And, I can't. So that means I'm, instead of trying to figure it out, that's what I normally want to do, is I think I want to just figure it out. And I want to get to a place where, like Madame Guillot, she just prays and asks humbly for God's grace to get her through it, you know, and she takes up that cross. And I think I need to start seeing these kind of things as crosses. And you're not a victim when you're taking up your cross. You're a participant in the future glory of Christ. And I need to see it that way. I need to start saying, okay, here's another cross for me to bear. And shall I be surprised? We're nearing 40,000 subscribers. We've just broken 39,000 some odd subscribers on YouTube. So I would imagine within the next 2 weeks or so, we'll break 40,000 subscribers on YouTube. And people's lives are continuing to be influenced and encouraged. And I'm getting hit. I mean, I'm getting hit left and right by, you know, things like this. And I guess I shouldn't be so surprised. Just as Madame Guillot says, God does not build up his choice saints to set them on a shelf, but rather to allow them to be afflicted. So I have to trust that God is allowing me to be afflicted for good reasons. And these crosses are good. And it just doesn't feel right. That's the problem, is it doesn't feel right to take up a cross denying this good thing that God has done to me through my wife. There's something excruciatingly hard that I haven't been able to reconcile biblically yet. If this was just my mom, or if this was some evil thing, or my ex-wife, or whatever, I'm able to say, oh yeah, this makes sense. An evil person's doing evil to me, I get it. But when the one that God has given me is doing some of the things that she's doing, it's very painful. It's like God gives you a gift that then hurts you. And actually seems to stand in the way of what God's asking you to do, which is to tell the story and proclaim my wonderful deeds. I mean, Persis, I don't think, fully realizes that she stands against every day what God's asking me to do. God's asking me to tell the story of what he's done, and she's wanting to stand in the way of it more and more. So it's really hard. I had a few moments, man, sitting at Starbucks where I'm like, just to heck with this whole ministry. It makes me just want to throw it away and just say, forget about it. We won't do this anymore. I had that. It only lasted for about 10 seconds, maybe 5. I had that thought. And immediately I said, nope, that ain't coming from God. But that idea of quitting, the temptation to quit, I felt it. Just quit. Just quit trying so hard. Why do I keep suffering for doing good? That's what I want to say to my wife and say, look at this. Why do you keep saying these kind of things to me? All I'm trying to do is to do good. What is wrong with me trying to tell people about the good, honorable wife that God has given me? What is wrong with the fact that you were poor and lived in India and God sent me from America to come and now you live with me in America and you don't have to, and you can flush toilet paper down your toilet more and you can breathe clean air? What's wrong with that? Why is that wrong? And you don't have to get looked at like a piece of meat every single time and cover your head up every time you go out on the streets. What's wrong with that? And that God gave you a good, God-fearing husband who loves you and who clearly is denying himself for you. What's wrong with that? But what's wrong with it is I think God is allowing this so that I can die at a deeper level. Apparently God can see things. I mean, obviously God can see things I can't see, but apparently he sees something in my heart that is still holding on to something, and maybe I'm justifying it somehow and I just can't see it. You know, maybe I'm justifying having this wife, and when she pulls back like this, it hurts my pride not wanting to be known as my wife. That's why I find myself, you know, getting offended when she doesn't wear her wedding ring. And I've had to ask her, you know, look, please, in our culture, not wearing a wedding band. And sure enough, we went into the store and some guy starts gawking at her when I walked away for 30 seconds. And so now I'm to the point now where I'm just like, you know what? I should just tell her, look, if you don't ever want to wear your wedding ring again, you don't have to. I'm not going to force you. If you don't want to wear it, don't wear it. To just die to myself. What is the need for me to have my wife to wear a wedding ring? Why can't I be good with just the fact that she loves me and I know she's married to me? And so what? So what if a man wants to gawk at her? Wedding rings don't stop men. It's hard, man. This is hard. This is hard stuff. Even saying it, it's easy to say, it's hard to do. But I feel like that's obviously what God is wanting, I think, just for me to die even more. And I keep giving these thoughts like, Persis is going out of her way to try to dishonor me. She so thinks I'm trying to use her to bring honor to myself that she's going out of her way to almost erase the fact publicly that she's my wife, and like in an effort to almost dishonor me. It's the most unbelievable thing for me to reconcile. You would think that she loves me more than any husband that's ever been loved. Any woman that's ever loved a husband. By the way, she treats me around the house. And she's so childlike and sweet. Man, when it comes to this kind of stuff, she takes it so seriously. And she becomes a totally, like, different person. She gets so offended by it. I just don't understand it. I don't know what's there. I know there's lots of stuff that's still from in her childhood. On one hand, I wonder if there's some terribly deep woundedness in her that's causing her to act like this. And on the other hand, I wonder if she's not just the most godly person I've ever met and I haven't realized it yet. But I know that by her reactions and by her saying things that she has said to me, that's not true. But because in moments of anger, when I'm questioning her, she's falsely accused me of all kinds of things. Wanting to gain honor for myself, wanting to be her savior, wanting to use her, you know, image to make money. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's one of those things where I'm starting to doubt my own self again because of, like, what happened with my ex-wife. I'm like, wow, Lord, am I guilty? Is any of this true? I've had to actually ask the Lord. And I guess I need to continue to wait on him and ask if there's any of it that's true, to hell with it. I want it to go to hell. And I guess the fact that I'm willing to die to these things shows that's not really my mission, that I'd be fighting that stuff a whole lot more. I mean, I hate it that my wife thinks that. I hate it. I hate being falsely accused of something I didn't do. I'm just going to really continue to search my heart. I'm not going to allow the devil to accuse me and bend me into being something I'm not, labeling me as something I'm not, accusing me of something I didn't do. I mean, I'm not going to just roll over to it and be whatever he's accusing me. I'll let him accuse me, but get out of here, fly. Get out of here. So, God help me. God help me. That's what I'm trying to do, is God help me. God help me. I'm going to sit here and read some scriptures. It's a beautiful afternoon, sitting on the Tennessee River. It's sunny. Man, I've got a little bit of shade behind this tree. And I'm just exhausted from talking about this. May God help me.